Yes, no, just
no.
The show.
Okay. So Parshas Noach, Tav Shin Pei, Noach. So as we started last week, we'll do a quick overview of the Parsha, and Noach? Then we're going to dive. Noach?
Rest.
Noach means to rest. We all need that. We all need Shabbos is coming, now, right? Just a day away. We'll have some Noach, some Menucha, Ba Shabbos, Ba Menucha.
So and the actual literal meaning is rest?
Yeah, the word Noach means to rest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why would you build a plow that to help them with the soil where it wouldn't be hard?
It would be easier to do the work, exactly.
More rest. Okay.
Exactly. Right. And some say that was a midah of Noach, actually. We'll see. The pasuk says Noach was matzah chen b'nei Hashem. Noach found favor in God's eyes. And all the mefarshim ask, why did he find favor? What did he do to find favor in Hashem's eyes? And some say it was because he didn't get angry. He was a very soft, calm person. And that might lend itself also in some of the ideas we'll discuss tonight. But let's go through the parsha. So Noach, we're reintroduced to Noach. Noach, Hashem tells him he's going to bring a mabul. He says the nation everyone's corrupt, and he's going to destroy the whole world. He's going to save Noach, his wife, his children, his daughters-in-law, and all the animals. Right. So he has to gather up all the animals, the kosher animals. He has to take 7 pairs of the non-kosher animals, a pair of each of them. And they all fit on the teva, and Noach Hashem tells him, build the teva. He spends 120 years building the teva. He builds the teva. The mabul happens. For 40 days it rains, and it wipes out the entire world. And Noach then has to restart humanity, basically. A recreation, a rebirth again. We had Bereshis last week, and very quickly after, we have another new beginning with Noach restarting. And the rest of the parsha continues on with Noach after the mabul talks about his incident after he planted some grapes and got drunk, and he's it's not a good situation over there. Chazal don't speak very positively about it. But
I said you went very quickly. One of the best stories in Bereshit.
It's true. It's true. There's a lot here. There's a lot here. According to Chazal, his children saw him naked, and and one was making fun, the others covered him up. But be that as it may, the parsha continues, and it goes ahead, and then we have basically the story of Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel, where the people wanted to create a tower together in Achdus, in unity, Nasalan Ushem, to create a name for themselves, to all the way towards the heavens. Hashem didn't like that plan, and he basically dispersed all of them and made them all speak different languages. And at the very end of the parsha, we're introduced to none other than Avram Avinu, Terach, Avram's father, and then Avram afterwards, and that will lead into next week's parsha. So we'll start off by talking about Noach, this Noach person. Noach is one of the most perplexing, confusing, enigmatic people in all the Torah, I think. Because the Torah describes him, as we know, the way the first pasuk in the parsha introduces him, as a tzaddik. Eila todos Noach, Noach ish tzaddik tamim haya b'darasav, es Elohim is halich Noach. It tells us he was a tzaddik. It tells us he followed in the way of Hashem. That he was not just a tzaddik tamim. He was perfect in his generations.
In his generation, though.
Right. So we're going to get to that. Okay. But according to the pshat, the pasuk. Pasuk is, that's an amazing accolade and way to describe someone. How many times does the Torah call somebody a tzaddik explicitly? It's a wonderful, wonderful way to describe someone as a person. So later on it calls him a tzaddik also, and he merited being saved from the mabul. He was the one that didn't get killed. So if you look throughout Parshas Noach, you won't find anything before the mabul in the pshat, in the psukim, that tell us a hint towards anything negative in the words themselves, in the pshat. If you literally read the English translation of the words and read it in Hebrew and understand it, nothing there. There's one pasuk that alludes to the fact that the Zohar picks up on, that's not in the parsha, but is really in the Haftorah, that kind of gives Noach, maybe on the pshat level, and it's pasuk in Nevi'im, a bad image from the Torah's perspective, from Torah Shebichsav. And if you look in the sources, and we're going to go through the first few sources soon, and we'll talk about what you mentioned in his generations, but if you look in source number 3, in Yeshayahu, in Perek Nundalad, so the Pasuk says, Ki Mei Noach. It refers to the Mabul as Mei Noach. It calls it the flood of Noach. That's not a good thing. That's a negative connotation. So the Zohar picks up on that and says Noach must have, he's blamed for the Mabul in Yeshayahu. He must have not been as good as we think, as good as the Torah tells us. And he explains why. So we're going to discuss this. We're going to go over this idea. Who was Noach? What is the confusion about? Why is there so much confusion? So let's see the couple ideas from Chazal that go ahead and speak about Noach in different ways than maybe than the Pshat does itself. The first pasuk says V'Noach Matza Chein Beinei Hashem. That's last week's parsha. So the first pasuk on the source sheet, Perek Vav Pasuk Ches, and then the first pasuk, this week's parsha, Eila told us Noach Noach Ish Tzadik Tamim Abadar Asav Tamim Hayab Adar Asav Es Ha'Elohim Es Halech Noach. So Rashi, pretty famous Rashi, quotes from Chazal, Yesh Mir Abosinu Dor Shem Osel L'Shvach Kol Shekein Shilu Hayab Adar Tzadikim Hayi Tzadik Yoser. Some rabbis interpret this in a very praiseworthy and positive way, that if he was in a different generation, picks up on the word, why does the Torah have to use the word bidorosav in his generations? If he was in a different generation, he would have been even a greater tzaddik, because he would have had great influences around him. He wouldn't have had to be the lone soldier in a society that was so corrupt. And then there are other rabbanim, the other chazal, a different camp in Chazal, that are Dorish, this pasuk, in a negative way. Lefi doro haya tzadik. For his generation, he was righteous. V'ilu haya b'dor shal Amar Avinu, lo haya nechshav l'klom. But if he lived in the generation of Amar Avinu, he wouldn't have been anything special. We wouldn't know who he was. He would be nothing. Just be a guy in the street. So that's a pretty critical chazal about Noach. Nothing in the psukim really says anything. He's a tzadik tamim. He's a hishalich. He's Es Elohim, Es Halech Noach. He walks in the way of God. The Chazal feel a need to critique him. If you look in the next part of that same pasuk, Es Elohim Es Halech Noach, Rashi also tells us, Uva Avram Omer His Halech Lefanai. By Avram it says, the pasuk says, Hashem, before who Avraham walked, Asher His Selachti Lefanav. Noach Hayit Tzarech Sod Sod L'Tomcho, Aval Avram Hayim Ischazik Mahalech B'tzidko Me'elov. So by Avram Avinu, it says that Hashem went ahead and was before whom he walked. But by Noach, it says the opposite. To say that Noach required HaKadosh Baruch Hu's support. Noach had to be carried, so to speak, or walk behind Hashem, with Hashem. Again, critical. Why? And probably the most... Well,
I think we're underrating Noach here. Mm-hmm. We're saying that only in his generation.
So you're saying it's
but
the same idea.
Nobody else in his generation,
right,
that was worthy of being saved.
Right.
In the story. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what the pasuk is trying to tell you. It's not belittling. Or it's not making Noach an underrated person.
Mm-hmm.
He was still a tzaddik.
So let's see the next Rashi. Let's see if it fits in with the next Rashi.
Where it talks about with Enoch, where he walks with Hashem.
That he also walks with Hashem.
Yes.
Meaning in a good way? Or
in a good way, yes.
Right. So here it's comparing it to Avram Avinu, which you find by Noach a lot. The Midrashim take Noach and compare him to Avram. They compare him to Moshe. And, you know, they take Noach and we don't usually like comparing, like contrasting. But the Medrash does it for Noach a lot, and so it just takes the textual language and says, compared to Avram Avinu, it wasn't as good as Avram Avinu. Noach needed more help from Hashem. But Ezra, to your point, let's see if your idea, which you know holds true according to obviously some of these Chazals, works with source number two, the pasuk in number two, which is probably could be the most critical of Noach, says as follows. So, Perek Zayin pasuk. Pasuk Zayin tells us, "Vayavo Noach uvana v'ishto shnei vanav ita latevim nei me'amabu." And Noach and his sons finally started raining, and his sons, and his wife and his sons' wives went with him into the teva. Why? Mipnei me'amabu, because of the flood waters, because it started raining. So look at Rashi here, Ezra. Check this out. Mipnei me'amabu, af Noach miktane amanahaya. Even Noach didn't really believe. He had little belief. Chazal, the Medrash actually says mechusrei amana, that he was lacking in his emuna. Here it says he had a low level of emuna. Mamin ve'ino mamin, he believed, but he didn't believe. Sheyavo hamabul, that the flood was actually going to come. V'lo nichnas l'teva ad shedachku ha'mayim. And so he didn't go into the teva until it forced him to. The Medrash says until it started really raining, got up to his ankles.
But he spent 120 years building it. I mean,
excellent question. How do we reconcile that? He spent 120 years, day in and day out, building the teva, yet he wasn't a mamon. He didn't believe it was going to happen. And to say you're not a mamon, what does that mean exactly? He didn't believe what? So according to the simple understanding of Rashi, and we'll see in a second, the idea is that he didn't believe the mabul was going to happen. But we're going to offer several interpretations as what it means that Noach was miktani amana. Noach was a small believer. He was a little believer. He didn't fully believe.
God told him to build the teva, correct?
Yes. God told him to build the teva, and God told him a mabul is coming. And so he didn't believe. He didn't believe the mabul was going to come. That's what Rashi's saying. He didn't fully believe. Part of him didn't believe. But part of him believed, part of him didn't believe.
But he gave them 120 years to change their ways.
Exactly. Hashem, the reason, according to Rashi from Chazal, the reason that it was a teva, why wasn't it something else? It could have been a different miracle. I'll bring a mabul tomorrow, and you'll just float to the top of the waters. You know, it'll be a miraculous event that way. Why a teva? Why? So because it took a while to build a teva, and Chazal say, Rashi quotes, people will come over, what are you doing? I'm building a teva. Hashem's coming. Exactly. Hashem's going to destroy the world, do tshuva. And that's the reason. It was to give people an opportunity to correct their mistakes and do tshuva. And 120 years went by, and how many people did tshuva?
None.
We have to talk about that also. How's that possible? How is it possible 120 years go by, you can't get one guy? Can't be Makai of one guy? You must be terrible at Kiruv.
No, they totally
really bad. A Meshuggah guy who does Kiruv, he's going to get one. The other Meshuggah guy who needs Kiruv. Okay, you get one Meshuggah, one guy. Noah couldn't get the one guy. So let's see. So the Zohar, in source number 4, which I mentioned, really picks up on the fact that the Haftarah calls the waters of the flood Mei Noach. And that's really the only source, I think, in Pshat that we see before, you know, referencing Noach in a negative light. Even though I think I heard that some vaccines are named after the doctors who found the vaccines, right? And the cures for them. What? Exactly. So it's a good thing to name the vaccine after it. What about the diseases? It has an association, like, you know, with the disease also. So I don't know. But Noach was the May Noach, to call it the water of Noach is not a good thing. So look at the Zohar in source number 4. The Zohar starts us off. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, and this is where we start comparing and contrasting Noach to others. Bo re'e ma bin ha-tzadikim sha'i l'sarol achakach uvein Noach. Come and see what the difference is between the tzadikim that Bnei Yisrael had afterwards, meaning after Noach, and Noach. Noach lo hegin al doro v'lo hispalal olav kevra. Noach didn't daven for his generation, and he didn't protect them. He didn't do anything to try to protect them by talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on their behalf.
He didn't have time to pray. What's the matter?
Avraham Avinu wasn't a busy person.
He wasn't building tevas.
He had 120 years to build a teva. It was a big teva. You think he was working 24/7?
Absolutely.
You find the time. The Zohar says, "Dechevan the Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu LaAvram." When Hashem told Avram, "Zaka Sedom VaAmar Ki Rabba," Miyad VaYigash Avram VaYomar. Right when Hashem told Avram that Sedom is going to be destroyed, Avram davened. Avram turned to Hashem. No, don't do it, please. And he went on to ask him, "Here be Dvarim Kineged Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Achashal Shim Yimtza Shama Sar Tzadikim. He went ahead. He said he went all the way down. Right, started going down. How many tzadikim? There's got to be at least 10 tzadikim he got to. Hashem said, "No, there aren't."
Noach didn't do none.
Noach did nothing.
No, there's a difference. You just said the difference. The difference is that in Avram's dar, there might have been 10 tzadikim. So that's why he was. That's why Avram died in despair. But Noach, he had a horrible generation.
Mm-hmm.
There is no tenses. There's no reason to
interesting.
Say that. There's no reason to.
He can get them to do tshuva
because he knew they're all good.
He could still. He could, it's a good point. But maybe he can daven to Hashem that they should do tshuva.
Right.
He could daven to Hashem for anything. But he didn't turn to Hashem to help anyone else. He didn't turn. We don't find any source that Hashem spoke to him. But he didn't talk to Hashem and tell Hashem, "Hashem, let's do something. Let's save 5 other people. 1 other person. Let's find 1 decent person in the world." Besides for me and my family? But he didn't daven that they should do tshuva. He didn't daven for anything for them. He didn't turn to Hashem for anything for them, to help them out. So that's what the Zohar says. And the Chosh of Avraham, so this just concludes about Avraham Avinu, fine. But that's one critique of Noach, that he didn't go ahead and daven, he didn't protect his generation. That's what the Zohar says. If you look in source number 5 on the next page, so source number 5, so let's see, excellent. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know.
We're going to get there. That's going to be in the sources.
They liked him because he wasn't compassionate.
We're going to get there. He, you know, Chazal say he was so compassionate, he fed all the animals for a year on the Teva. The Mabul lasted a year, so he was compassionate to the animals, and he cared about the animals and fed them and cleaned their, cleaned up after them, but didn't daven for one person. So we got to understand what's pshat.
Yeah.
What's pshat there? Okay. We're going to get there. Before we get there, we're going to look at a piece from the Stipler. Rabbi Lesser, for those of you who were in SCP, actually this week quoted the Stipler. It's a beautiful Stipler. Now you see it inside. Ain't no Doma hearing it, seeing it inside. Stipler in the first paragraph in the Sefer Birchas Peretz. Stipler was a goyin shebegoyinus, his son. Rechaim Kanievsky today is Gadol Hador in Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Brak, and he was tremendous, just Talmid Chacham, and you know, he wrote Mechaber Svarim, Kehilas Yaakov, and he wrote a small sefer, it's very skinny, on the Torah called Birchas Peretz, small pieces on each parsha. He asks the question that we asked, you know, in the first paragraph, we can kind of just go to the last line. He just says, how could it be that Chazal went ahead and critiqued Noach so much, and that Noach didn't believe that the Mabul was going to come? At the end, he says, "Heichi talking lomar alav shahay mektane amana shiava Mabul." How could it be that he didn't believe the Mabul was going to come, and that he had little amuna? It doesn't make sense. He had to be a bala amuna. He spent 120 years building the teva. Hashem told him. Hashem trusted him. Hashem entrusted him to build the teva. Hashem had faith in Noach. Where was Noach's faith in God? Says the Stipler, "V'nir devade Noach hayamamim b'muna shlemish yava amabel." Of course, Noach believed the Mabul is going to come. Right? You can't say Noach didn't think the Mabul is going to come. Let's skip over the brackets. Ela shekol ze haya b'hakara sichlis v'lo b'hakara chushis. Except that the emuna he had was a hakara sichlis. It was an intellectual kind of emuna, and not an emotional kind of emuna. She'ilu gazer melech baser v'adam shebiyom ploni b'shas plonis yahargu es kol ha'nimtza b'ir plonis. Because if a king decreed that on this day, a certain day, everyone in this town is going to be killed, lo hayam amtin miliv roach ad rega ha'achrono. You wouldn't wait until the last second to run away. If the king says this day it's going to happen, you're going to run away immediately. Kimirova pachat hayim amayr l'varach zman gadol mikodem. You're going to go ahead, you're scared, you're in fear, you're in trepidation. I'm going to get killed. I'm going to run away tonight. And right when I find out about the decree, I'm going to run away. Right in California with the wildfires. Not that there's a decree there, but when people need to evacuate, usually normal people don't wait until the fire actually is on their block. They'll get out of the situation beforehand. Aval kan shelo haya ela hakar sichlis lo hetil yedia zu alav. Can't actually read that word. Nora kokashi maher. Ya ala pacha nora kokashi maher lischabe lifnei. Bahamabu. But here, because Noach only had an intellectual type of belief in Hashem, he didn't run away until the Mabul actually came. So the Stipler is telling us there's different levels of emunah in Hashem. To know that Hashem exists, to know that God's told you there's a Mabul that's going to come, which is to me would be like, I mean, God spoke to you. That's pretty high level of emunah you should have after that. But to know it is one thing. To feel it in every fiber of your body, to experience it, to emotionally connect with Hashem, is a whole different level. And Noach was lacking in that kind of emunah. So you could know something intellectually, but not act upon it. You could know something and not do anything about it. Noach, according to the Stipler, he believed the Mabul was going to come, but it wasn't a deep belief. It was just...
He didn't believe in Hashem.
So he believed, but there were different levels. He didn't have a deep belief. He didn't have a real emotional connection to what Hashem said. Hashem told him something. It was kind of, Rabbi Lesser gave a great mashal. Yeah, so the radiation versus a fire. Something that you can, that's tangible versus not tangible. His belief wasn't tangible. It wasn't real. It wasn't as real. So that's one answer. How is Manoach Mektane Amana? What does it mean he was small in his belief? Because he didn't have emuna chushis. He only had emuna sichlis. So that's the Stipler's answer. Now we're going to get to your questions. An amazing question. Why didn't he daven for his generation? What happened? Maybe. So Rav Levi Yitzchak of Bardichev, the Bardichever, he in source number 6 in the Kedushas Levi says a lot, and he has a beautiful way of understanding the situation in some respects and explaining Noach's personality, this conflicted personality. So we'll start with the first, the beginning. Eile tolos Noach. Nira dihine yesh neimini tzadikim. Says Rav Levi Yitzchak, there's two types of tzadikim in the world. She'ov dimes habore, that serve God. Tzadik echad yesh she'ovid habore baruchu pislavus gadol v'hu le'atzmo v'ino makariv harasham liosim gamkein me'ov de habore baruchu. One tzaddik serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a great fire. An incredible amount of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's extremely high levels in Avodas Hashem. But he doesn't really focus on anyone else. He doesn't focus on the Rishayim. He's just concerned with his own Avodas Hashem. He doesn't look outside himself. My relationship with God, Bein Odom Lemakom, and that's it.
But he took care of the animals where they had to kick them out. I mean, that's how much love he showed those animals. They didn't want to leave after the flood. I mean, that's how much compassion he had on the creatures.
Right. So yeah, maybe you have to explain that Hashem told him to do that, because Hashem told him to bring the animals in the teva, and it wasn't for them to die in the teva; it was him to take care of them.
But he comforted them so much during that time.
Right. So those are chazals, it's, you know. Right, those are positive chazals of Noach. But right, those are, you know, in the psukim we don't. I mean, we see he saved animals, you know, and they survived. Whether he actually fed the, you know, the midrashim.
Rav Dessler talks about that being the lesson he had to learn. That is, the 180 days stuck with all his animals, with all the food, having to feed the animals, he became a giver. He grew in the teva.
That's beautiful. Right. That's beautiful.
He built the teva 120 years.
Yeah.
In those 120 years, he's telling them do tshuva. And he's seen that 120 years, he's telling the people to do tshuva, and he sees that people see him building this teva, and he still don't do tshuva. Sounds cool.
Okay.
The animals.
Right. The animals didn't do anything wrong. They're animals.
They're really animals.
Right.
Right.
It's pretty big stuff. Right. We're not comparing him to a Russia, but that's because the Torah calls him a tzaddik tamim. The Torah calls him a tzaddik. So we're going to compare him to the tzaddikim. We're not going to compare him to a Russia. That wouldn't make sense. We're going to say, okay, let's size you up against the other tzaddikim we know about in the Torah. That's what the Midrashim, that's what they do. So let's see what Levi Yitzchak says. So he says, so that's one kind of tzaddik, somebody who's totally focused on his own avodas Hashem, his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's serving Hashem, and he does that incredibly. V'yesh tzaddik acher she'oved HaBaruch HaBorei u'machzir HaRishon li'os gam kem li'ov de HaBorei k'mo Avram Avinu shehai megayer geirim. Exact opposite of Avram Avinu. There's another kind of tzaddik that is totally involved with going ahead and mekariv of the Rishon. He serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an incredible way also. But not only is he focused on his own avodas Hashem.
You said the Rishon. How do you have the
Rishon? No, he says it. I'm just quoting.
Oh, he says Avraham Avinu converted the Rishon.
I mean, if they were over the avodas Zara, maybe they were Rishon. He says they were Gerim, but here he says Machzir Harishayim. Rav Levi Yitzchak uses the Lashon Rishon. But he goes ahead. He's not just focused on himself, but he's focused on help, on bringing others closer to Hashem as well. Second kind of tzaddik, and that's like Avraham Avinu is Megayer Gerim. V'isa v'kisvei Arizal. This is why the Arizal says Noach was punished. Why? Al shelo haya mochiach harashayim shevedoro. He didn't give rebuke. He didn't give mussar. He told them, do tshuva. I tell you, do tshuva, Tzvi. Does that mean a lot? He didn't talk to them in a way that would connect with them, that would go ahead and bring them closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. He said God's bringing, just like Rashi quotes,
he's
and it's Chazal.
Exactly.
And if someone comes by, I'll talk to them. I'll tell them what to do. Yeah. But he didn't go out of his way. He didn't say, guys, let's gather the community together. Let's try to do tshuva. Let's start a tshuva movement. He didn't do any of that. So that Rizal criticizes him for that. Now, these are not my inyanim. I don't understand these things, but he says, Levi Yitzchak says that he was a Gilgul. Noach was a Gilgul in Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe was misaking Noach. Noach's neshama was put Moshe. Moshe was a Gilgal of Noach. Sorry if I said it the other way. Moshe was a Gilgal of Noach, and Moshe would rebuke Klal Yisrael all the time. he was misaking that which Noach was lacking. So that's where Rav Levi Yitzchok starts with. So, and he continues, he says, he proves on actually the Lashon HaElohim is Halich Noach. He says there also, Ratza Loma Rak Es HaElohim Hayim is Halich Noach, Noach Levado Ovid HaBorei Baruch Hu, Avalo Hayim is Halichim HaBrios LaKarvam. He only walked with Hashem, he didn't walk with the Bnei Adam around him, he didn't walk with them. Okay, a little touch in the Pasuk. But then he goes ahead and tries to understand, what is Miktane Amana? And now we're going to get to hammer in on your points. So in the second paragraph, Ach, Nidaktik Peperish Rashi, Af Noach Miktane Amana Haya. How could it be? It says he's a tzaddik tamim. And how? Why didn't he daven for his generation? Right? Why didn't? I understand now, Noach didn't daven for his generation. But why not? Why not? If he was so caring towards the animals, why didn't he daven for his generation? Says Rav Levi Yitzchak, if you skip down to the underlined section at the bottom, V'noach hagam shahayat tzaddik gadol. And Noach, even though he was a great tzaddik, v'tamim haya, and he was wholesome, he was perfect in his ways, haya katan be'inav me'od. He was very small in his own eyes. V'lo haya lo emuna ba'atzmo shehu tzaddik. He didn't believe in himself that he was a tzaddik. Tzaddik Moshe v'yachal v'atal ha'gzera. He didn't think he would be able to do anything. He didn't think his tefillah would matter. He didn't think his tefillah would accomplish anything for the rest of the generation. Abi mevatel the gzeir of the mabul. Therefore, he didn't daven.
Well, as I said, the Chavetz Chaim didn't think he was a tzaddik, but he thought that he knew he was a gun.
Exactly, that was a beautiful idea. Exactly.
It's exactly.
It's
the reverse.
And Moshe, he said, well, Moshe was a gilgal, and Moshe was a big Zanov.
Right, fits in beautifully also, that he was a huge honor. But that was Noach's flaw. Noach didn't believe in himself.
I don't know if that's a flaw.
It's not a flaw.
Like,
not to believe in yourself? Not to believe that you're koach atfilah, that you're talking to Hashem, to daven to Hashem?
No,
you're talking about the Chavetz Chaim. I'm talking about Noach.
It's not a flaw here.
Well, it is a flaw if you don't add, I'm sure the Chavetz Chaim daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for many things. If you don't think you're a person who could have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your tefillos are worth nothing, and you feel that lowly about yourself, which is what Rav Levi Yitzchak is saying, why you didn't daven, that's a flaw. To think I'm humble, humility, right, what is humility? Humility doesn't mean to think I'm nothing, I'm a piece of dirt. A person, humility, my understanding of humility, based on my discussions in my Harbeim, reading Svarim, what Anova means is that a person knows who they are, they know their value, but they know that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that none of it is from Hashem gave
Moshe
it all to them, and they worked on it.
Moshe was the greatest son that ever lived.
Right.
He fixed the rebuking, and he fixed the
exactly.
Anav. Babuli.
Because he knew it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could it be Anav Mikol Adam, but the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because he knew it all came from Hashem.
Right.
It's not to think I'm nothing, but Noach thought, it seems like from here, Noach thought he was nothing. Noach felt, my tefillah is nothing. I'm not even going to dive, I'm not going to try.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything. It's not going to be helpful.
So, but why? Why did he think that way?
He had low self-esteem. He didn't feel his words were gonna do anything to Hashem. No. That's where Levi Yitzchok seems to be. He was katan in his own eyes. He was mamin. He was miktan, exactly. He was miktane amana. He was mamin beino mamin. He believed, but he didn't really believe in himself. He didn't believe in himself, and that's why he didn't daven. So that's the second shot. First shot, the stipler. Second shot we have here, Rav Levi Yitzchok, that Noach. What's miktane amana? He didn't believe in himself. Not that he didn't believe in Hashem. Because he had to believe in Hashem. Hashem told him Nabal's coming, he spent 120 years building a teva. But he didn't dive into Hashem, and that's why he's faulted, because he didn't believe in himself.
And that's why the Nabal is the main off.
Could be, right. On to source number 7. The Sforno echoes the same idea. He actually says, and this is why I quoted the Pasuk, because the first source for the last week's Parsha, V'noach Matzachin, because it's on this Sforno's on that, Pasuk, from the end of Bereshis. Noach found favor in Hashem's eyes. There's a big discussion in Mefarshim. Did Noach merit to be saved? Or did Hashem like something about Noach that he saved him? And what does it mean, not matzah chen be'ine Hashem? But the Sforno here says that even if Noach was a tzaddik, his wife and his children, his daughters-in-law, his sons, they only merited to be saved because Hashem liked Noach, and so he wanted to save his family. Not that they were all tzaddikim. Also, Torah doesn't tell us that about his family. So that's one point that Sforno makes. And then he says the same idea also. In V'chei Noach, Afa Pisho, Chiyach HaMasim, Mekalklim, Inyan HaMedinos, Lo Hura Osel Madas, Ha'el Yisparach HaLeches Bedrachav. Sforno has the same idea, that he didn't go ahead and rebuke the people and didn't bring them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we saw earlier as well in Rav Levi Yitzchak. Okay. So that's two pshatim on what Maktani Amana. Here's a third pshat, more of a positive twist. I think you might have mentioned it, Danny, before. A little bit, you alluded to it. Rav Yitzchak Avorka, quoted in source number 8, says as follows. He has the same question is asked. How could it be that he was a tzaddik, tamim, but he didn't believe in Hashem? So it says as follows. Look in the underlined part. Noach miktanei amana hayamamin. Noach was miktanei amana that he believed.
Afilu, he believed in the katanei amana.
Exactly. Afilu biktanei amana hayatola emunaso vitikvaso. Even in the small believers, Noach had faith in them. Mm-hmm. In the miktanei amana is who Noach believed in. So what's pshat? Why didn't he go into Teva until the marbles started coming already and getting up to his ankles? And so, shebechol rega alulim heim lachzor b'tshuva. He felt that the miktanei amana can go ahead and at any second do tshuva. Lefikach eino mamin shiavo amabul. Therefore, he didn't believe the marble was coming. Shekein tshuvasam shel eila asuya levatos agzera. Because he said, these people are going to do tshuva. They're going to have to do tshuva. I have so much emuna in these non-believers or small believers, these miktanei amana, that they're going to do tshuva, that I don't think the mabul is actually going to happen. Yeah. That's why he had to wait till the mabul to actually happen in order for him to go into the teva, because he didn't really think it was going to happen. Well, he had to go through the process of them doing tshuva, that they were going to go ahead and do tshuva. He was going to be chozer them to tshuva through building the teva. So if you look at Rashi, it's a very, you know, a different way of reading the Rashi. You just have to move the comma where you put it. Noach miktanei amana hayamamin. That Noach believed in the miktanei amana.
So then he's a guy.
Yeah. And he didn't think he even...
So it's looking in a positive way. Right. He was a tzaddik tam. Right. He was. He believed in the miktanei amana. He didn't go in until the me'amabul came because of that.
And he didn't even think he needed to doubt.
He didn't. Right, they didn't need tefillos, maybe. I mean, everyone could use tefillos, but maybe that's why he didn't daven. Exactly. So that's the third pshat. It's a positive pshat. And the fourth pshat, Maktani Amana, Rav Meir Shapiro, founder of Daf Yomi. So he explains as follows, and it's hard to find his Divrei Torah because a lot of them didn't make it past the war. They're in kind of like different places and stuff, but a lot of them were lost. I think that's what I read. So he speculates as to why, in fact, Noach was not successful. And this is your question, right? This is what we're talking about. You didn't get one guy to go ahead and to do tshuva? How is that possible? So Rav Meir Shapiro writes, he quoted, this is in a Rabbi Fran piece, quotes as follows. He says, Noach believed that the people of his generation were beyond salvation. He had no faith in the people of his generation. And he felt that they sank to such a low level of spiritual darkness, there was no hope for them. And so, therefore, he didn't even try. He thought, and that was his fault. That was his problem. He said, there's no way this guy's ever going to serve Hashem. Look at him. He's lost. Hamas. They're stealing. They're going ahead. They're doing Gila Arayos. Oh, no way. These people can't serve God. So he didn't believe in who? Not Hashem. Not himself, not in the low believers that he did believe, but he didn't believe in the people. He didn't think they could do tshuva. And that's what Rav Meir Shapiro says. And because of that, Rav Meir Shapiro explains, that's why he couldn't affect anybody with any of his words. Because if you don't believe in the people, you don't believe in the message you're sending that can actually be delivered to a person, that they'll accept it, people will see right through.
He didn't even say one person under his wing, like Abraham and Eliezer, or nobody.
Right, exactly. He didn't do one person. Take one person. And the people, he didn't go ahead. So how do you reconcile this with tzaddik? Mm-hmm. Exactly. So maybe he was like the Rav Levi Yitzchak said, the first kind of tzaddik, he focused fully on his avodas Hashem. He didn't go ahead and focus on other people. There's a different kind of tzaddik. Mm-hmm. Two kinds of tzaddikim. But that's what Rav Meir Shapiro says. Is that Noach didn't believe that anyone can change, and therefore when he told them to do tshuva, they saw right through it. They said, you don't really think we can change, you're joking. You know we can't change, come on, man. And he would just like, be like, yeah, you're right. That's what he'd be thinking. You're right. You can't change.
It's like he didn't give
him
a mussar.
He didn't give him a chance.
He didn't give him a chance. Why did he wait until the marble to go into the table? I mean, that's a different point.
It's a different point, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's explaining Miktani Amana that he was little in his low belief to go ahead and change. So we have four different pshatim about Noach, and they're all very interesting. What is Miktani Amana? Mamin veino mamin. What does this mean exactly? The stiper that he had emuna sichlis but not emuna chushis. He didn't really believe in Hakadosh Baruch Hu in such a deep and high madrega. We have the Rav Levi Yitzchak who says he didn't believe in himself, so he didn't daven for the generation. He didn't try to save them. We have Rav Yitzchak Avorka, who said that Noach didn't believe that the people weren't going to do tshuva. He thought, of course, they're going to do tshuva. So that's why he thought the Mabul wasn't going to come. And therefore, he didn't go in until the water actually started coming up to his ankles. And the last pshat, which is the opposite of that, he didn't believe they could do tshuva. And so, because he didn't believe they could do tshuva, the messages, if he gave them any mussar, didn't work. If he even tried, because he didn't believe in the people, the power of change for anyone. And we know that's it's the opposite of the way perspective we're supposed to have, because anyone can change. And we're going to get to that shortly. So if you look on the last page, two pages, just want to share a few ideas on the keshes, on the rainbow. We know that after the Mabul is over and Noach comes out of the table with his family, he offers Mizbeach, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and tells him, he promises him, never going to bring a flood to destroy the world again. And he gives him a sign. He gives him the sign. Es kashti nasati ba'anan v'hayisa la'os bris b'ni yuvein ha'aretz. It's not just a sign, it's more of a covenant. It's a covenant, the bris between Hashem and humanity. That he puts this rainbow in the clouds, and it's going to be a sign that between Hashem and the land and the world and earth and the world. So if you look at the Ramban in source number 11, we're going to quote three different pshatim. What's the message of the rainbow? Such a beautiful thing, right? I don't know how many of you have seen a live rainbow. I remember when I was living in Queens a couple of years ago, there was this amazing rainbow. I think it was on Shabbos. It's like, and you couldn't like call anyone or tell anyone. I think that's probably even better, because you're not really supposed to start spreading it according to some. It's a whole halachic topic. But it was a gorgeous rainbow throughout, I don't know where it went, from one side of Queens to the other, possibly. But in Kew Garden Hills, you saw it all over. It was a gorgeous rainbow after it rained. And I think there were actually two of them in Queens when I was there. But rainbows are amazing. I mean, they're incredible. But what's the message of the rainbow? So let's see three different shatim. The Ramban tells us, and just for time, we'll say it outside, that what does a rainbow look like? The rainbow looks like a bow and arrow, right? Rainbow looks like, not the arrow, but it has the bow, right? It's a bow. It's a bow in the sky. And the Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used that as the sign of the bris, as the os, because when you go to war with somebody, I've never used a bow and arrow in a battle before, but apparently, according to the Ramban, when there was a battle, you would use a bow and arrow, and when you finished fighting, or when you showed that you want to have peace, you would turn the bow and arrow around. So the bow in the Shemayim is facing really upwards, but the back of the bow is facing downwards towards the Aretz, which means what? Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling you peace, shalom. There's going to be shalom between us. I'm not going to bring a Mabul to destroy the world. That's one idea from the Ramban. The Ramban actually mentions that even though we don't hear about a rainbow until now, it was created by Maase Bereishis, and now is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed it to the world, which is different than the Ibn Ezra, who says that no, this is when the rainbow was created. Very interesting shot. It wasn't there before. This is when the first time the rainbow was created, was at the time of the bris between Noach, between Hashem and the world.
Is this a positive sign?
Yeah, positive sign. Why does it have these negative connotations and stuff? Because and is that what you're gonna ask?
Yeah. Okay.
I think
Hashem wanted
to destroy the world, but isn't going to.
So that's negative.
Right. It's positive negative. Hashem wants to destroy the world, but here's a simon I'm not going to, so he's not going to. He's holding back because of the bris. But yes, he wants to. He has that rotzen. So it's that's why it has negative. That's why you're not supposed to stare at it for too long, and you're not supposed to miss stock elbow. So let's see the last two pshatim, though, a little more drush than the Ramban. The Ramban is just a Rishon, and you got to quote that Ramban. No, I meant he is a Rishon. And so the last two sources, who are just Achronim, But Gedolim Atayra. So we have source number 12, Rameir Shapiro again. And this is that, and part of that piece from Rabbi Fran. He says as follows. He says, as we all know, a rainbow occurs when there is a beautiful day and suddenly it becomes terribly cloudy and terribly dark. There follows a downpour, and shortly after the downpour, the clouds dissipate. It becomes light again. It becomes bright again. And when the sun hits the rain, a rainbow is formed, which is a beautiful multicolored illumination in the heaven. The message of the rainbow is that no matter how dark the world may be, after the darkness, the light can shine and can in fact make a beautiful image that brightens the world. And that was the message to Noach. Because Noach didn't believe, as we saw before, that the people of his generation can do tshuva. The rainbow tells us, no, out of the darkness can come the most beautiful thing. From a sky that's pouring, that is thunderstorms, can come a rainbow, can come the most gorgeous thing to see. And lastly, in source number 13, Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch quotes as in his Chumash as follows. He says that Hashem assured mankind, all living creatures, that there won't be more total destruction, and it constitutes a bris. The rainbow, which was visible in the sky even earlier, shall be a permanent reminder of the divine assurance. It's to be a symbol, a visible bond between Shemayim and Aretz. The one right ray of light, which is what a rainbow comes from, is refracted sevenfold in the rainbow. The divine light lives in all men, but it is refracted in several stages. The red ray of light is nearest to a divinity, while the violet ray loses itself in the darkness, as a symbol that this ray exists even in the perverted man who Hashem helps, that divine light may not be extinguished entirely. Again, this idea that not that necessarily, but that a little slight twist from what Rameir Shapiro said, but that each person in themselves are also like a rainbow. That each person has the ability to accomplish so much, has so much potential, and that's what Noach didn't see in others. He didn't see that each person can become a rainbow, and they have those rays of light. And so we should all take these messages from Noach, even that he was a tzaddik, he was a tzaddik tamim. We should also serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way as well, Bein Adam L'Makom, but not forget about the Bein Adam L'Chaveru as well, which seems to be what Noach was lacking. It's interesting, some of the ideas criticize him for not davening, which is Bein Adam L'Makom. Some of the ideas criticize him for Bein Adam L'Chaveru, not trying to help rebuke his nation. And so he's one of the most confusing and enigmatic characters in all of the Torah. And he was a tzaddik. He was a tzaddik tamim at the same time. Very amazing person, unique person. We should all take these lessons and hopefully increase our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with others.